My next guest is multi-award-winning singer-songwriter Tali Karen, who has released her latest single, which really is described as being very well-timed. It's called Keep Going. Morning, Tali.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, yes. I keep going all the time, you know, I was doing music and that's really the secret, how I keep going.
I have to say, when I saw the title, I have to say, I think that resonated well with me as well, and probably many others out there as well right now.
I think so, yes.
So before I ask you about your new single, can I ask, where did it all start for you? How did you get into the kind of the music side of things?
Right. How long is the interview? Because it's a long, long history, but I'm trying to make it very short. It started very long time ago in small town in Israel called Haifa. I always sang from the age of 3. At an early age, I went to a competition, talent competition, didn't win, and stopped my singing at the age of 8 until the age of 25, if you believe. 25. So all those years, it was just a dream. And the reason is, as I said, I didn't win, and my parents didn't tell me, look, Tali, not every time you're going to win. Next time, go and you will make it. But it was like, oh, a family tragedy that I didn't win the competition and I stopped singing. But the music is stronger than me. And I started to sing and compose and write. And at some stage, I moved to London. And I think that was a big, big move, you know, to come here without family, without anyone, just with one suitcase. And there were a lot of difficult times through the way, through being here by myself. But as I said, the music is what all the time kept me going, the music. And at a later stage, I think it was 2014, I understood that it's not only the music, it's the message and what I'm doing for music. That's, for me, the most important thing, is the purpose that I use the music as a tool to inspire people, to put communities together, to make people believe in themselves. So that's the shortest version that I could do.
And you talk about yourself inspiring people. Who were the people that inspired you growing up from in a musical perspective?
So I'm coming from a family that classical music was the music that my father heard, from Beethoven to Mozart. That's what I heard. And that's why also my first album was that I took classical melodies and turned them into music. So in terms of inspiration as a composer or singer-songwriter, at the beginning, I was not actually inspired by someone particular, like, you know, so many bands are always inspired by the Beatles, and the Beatles were inspired by other bands. So that was not the case. But I must say, if we talk about Coldplay and Seal, there is certain artists that really inspire me, and the inspiration is not necessarily the music, it's how it makes me feel. And it makes me feel so good when I go for a run and hearing their music. So I'm saying, oh, how fantastic. I know how my music probably does to people that inspire.
So can you give me a little bit of insight around the tone and genre of your music?
My music is pop, but with edge. So you would put it under electropop, electroacoustic pop, or indie pop. But of course, the tone of my voice and the way I sing bring it to something that put it a little bit in unique way. And of course, the accent, because I sing in Hebrew and I sing in Spanish. So sometimes for people, it's difficult to put me in a box, but at the end of the day, I write pop songs, but I like to call them pop with edge.
It's probably good not to be put in a box because it makes you unique, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, yesterday I did a streaming launch to my neighbors. That's what kept me and my neighbors going for 12 weeks. I'm singing every week.
Let's just put a bit of context around that, because I was going to ask you that one, because I read that you've been live streaming from your balcony at home in London. Tell us a bit more. What have you been doing?
Oh, I'm telling you, I never wanted to stop singing so much, because 12 weeks I'm singing to the same audience. So, you know, just imagine you go to a restaurant and you eat just the same thing. But I told them yesterday, thank you for listening to me and not get bored, you know. So it's all started with a neighbor that suggested to do it, and I took it very seriously and even bought a few stands to film it. So I'm streaming it to Instagram and Facebook. So I have such a great contact with my fans and friends all over the world. And we have a courtyard, so there is, and two floors. So it's so easy for people to be apart, sit outside their flat. But the reason I mention it is that I've been doing 12 gigs and never repeated. Beside, obviously, keep going, that all the neighbors are repeating it with me and know the words by heart. It's that every time I sing different songs, and I have neighbors from Colombia. So yesterday I sang for her a special song in Spanish, and then I sang in Hebrew, and beautiful covers that I'm doing lately. And so it was a joy for me. You know, how is it sometimes we want to do something and we put it aside? And I always wanted to sing covers, and that lockdown and streaming pushed me to do covers. And people love it, and I love it. So
I think that's amazing stuff. And, you know, you're just connecting people through the power of music. And I think it's just lovely at a time like this, giving, you know, it's giving something for people to look forward to as well every day. So.
And what was nice yesterday, I have an American neighbor. She's a teacher in school, but apparently she was a singer. We, as I said to you, we had a little bit of drinks. I had champagnes, and she kind of opened up and she said, "Tali, because of what you're doing now, it's made me want to go back to sing." I said, "That's fantastic." I said, "When was the last time you sang?" She said, 10 years ago. Someone let me down and said that I was not good enough. So I said, "That's fantastic." So this is what I love, is inspiring people. And obviously, it's because of my own experience. And when you read about the Bee Gees, it took them years, or many other famous band took them years. But I think I'm the champion of how many years they took me. And but especially that I'm not singing in my own language. Yeah. I'm without a record label. You know, I'm independent. I have my own little label. So all those things make the journey longer. But you know what? I'm starting to see that the journey became the beauty of all it.
Tali, we're going to go over to an advert, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about your single, Keep Going, and get a bit more insight around how it all came about.
Okay.
With me today is Tali Karen, who has not only been described as having the most world-timed single called Keep Going, has had an extensive career as a singer, songwriter, and also I have to ask this question, Tali. I saw that you were actually in a James Bond film, Quantum of Solace. What's that about? What happened there?
Yes, right. I know the press always like to do from that a very big thing. It's just that they needed, I'm not acting, I'm just dubbing, and they're using my voice, my low voice, to do a replace an Israeli agent. So if you see the film and you hear someone with kind of low, sexy voice, just know it's me.
That's what fantastic.
Yeah, I can say the sentence even. What did the American do? You've got a James Bond in your program.
You got any more plans to act?
Yes, because I actually study in Israel acting in front of camera. I'm an actress. But, you know, being here, it does make it a little bit more difficult because it's not my first language. So I will always get auditions for a Middle Eastern or not in English. And therefore, there is not yet acting offers. But I think it will come. I believe that my new album will, I believe, will put me more on the international map. And then, you know, the right movie, the right thing will come. It's all about that.
Let's talk about your new single, Keep Going. So, I mean, this must have been an amazing experience for you. It was, you recorded at Abbey Road Studios, didn't you?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. And I think just being there, just knowing that you're there, it's like, wow, you know. But I have to say something, might be a little bit emotional, but the reason I went there, we all know how expensive it is, right? Abbey Road. So yeah. The reason I pushed myself to do it was because I was married at the time to Simon, my late husband, and it was a dream for him to be there as well. So I pushed myself and just said, let's go and do it, because it was quite a lot of money. So it was for him in the last 2 years of his life to be in Abbey Road, because he loved music before he became a therapist. And on that day when we came home, he just went and bought a guitar and record a song. So you see, that's what I love about life, is just that the effect of music is so strong.
Yeah, I mean, and you must have such wonderful memories of that day as well.
Oh yes, oh yes. And I filmed it, so in a week time we will release the official lyric video straight from Abbey Road. So people will be able to look at it on YouTube. And so I think it was a great experience. But what I'm good at is put things together. So I took some of the stuff that I recorded there, combined it with another recording in a different studio, and then gave it to Mike Stevens. He's a very famous he's a musical director of Take That and Grammy nominated for Annie Lennox's last two albums, and he mixed it with me. So in a way, I co-produce it. I always work with Phil Curran. It's someone that I worked for the last over 10 years. So I have ideas, but he actually arranged them. So we took the live music from Abbey Road, mixed it together with some electronics and some, you know, that's what we do. And then I mixed it with Mike Stevens. So it was a long process.
Yeah, but it sounds like a fun process.
Oh, I love it.
I'm just going to read a quote that actually is taken from your press release. And it says, you are often compared to a more optimistic version of Marianne Faithfull. How does that make you feel to be compared to such an icon?
It's make me feel good. And last week, I actually was compared to Nico. And you will hear in the next few weeks, as I told you, I started to do covers, just sitting by the piano, strict covers, and people will be able to understand the quality of my voice that has resonance. But because I'm so optimistic in my nature, so I remember it was a journalist, or I think it was radio interview, that he called it the optimistic version of Marianne Faithfull. I loved her more when she, you know, in the 60s, I'm doing a cover of Little Bird. I sang it last week and people love it. So when it was more innocent, then that's when I was more connected. But I feel it's an honor, you know, and I hope one day to meet her and do something together.
Yeah, oh, fabulous. I mean, yeah, that's definitely a wonderful person to be compared to. So, yeah. I understand, because, I mean, you performed in some amazing venues, haven't you? Like Albert Hall, House of Lords, even at a match, MK Dons Stadium for International Peace Day 2019. Wow, that sounds like an amazing achievement.
Yes, I think, you know, the drive in me, love to manifest my dreams. I do need to tell about my husband again. He was a sport, like a psychologist of MK Dons when he was alive. And so I had some connection with them, and then the winner, I don't know if you know, but in the last 5 years I've created something called the National Schools Poetry Competition, which I encourage children in school to write about peace or just to express what they feel, because it's such an important thing. So the winner of 2018 was from Milton Keynes. So I said, what can be perfect than to have the premiere of the song in the stadium? So I offered it to them and they loved it. And the mayor was there, and so it was a big dream for me to stand on the grass there on International Peace Day, and also to mention the memory of my husband, and say there, why shall we waste our time on conflict? You know, life can be sometimes short, and we can see it now with the COVID-19, how much we have to appreciate life, not take anything for granted.
That's so very, very true. And Tali, can I ask you what's next for you? I mean, you mentioned about the album.
What next for me is beyond words, because I just have so much music in me that need to go out. So I think the English album, although I released album before, this is an album that I'm working for a long time. And because of all what I've been through in the last few years, I delayed its release. And I think my sound is much more established. So although we said we don't like to be in a box, but there will be the box, because the sound and the message, it's clear. And yeah, so I have amazing three songs, more singles in that album, and all what I can say, the sky's the limit.
Well, we look forward to hearing about what comes up next for you. And if anyone wants to find out more about you, you have a website, don't you?
Yes, which is Tally, TallyKoren. And if you listen to the interview, please listen on Spotify and follow me, and let me create a good noise, positive noise. By the way, Keep Going used to call positive, but we changed it to Keep Going. But that was the original title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's been lovely chatting with you, and we're going to hear the track Keep Going. Would you mind introducing it for us?
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to my new single, Keep Going.